Amen. Go ahead and be seated. That kind of, I didn't know that. I got to be real honest, I had no idea. And that surprise is even better when you don't know anything about it. I didn't know I was pastoring for 15 years. I had no idea. I had something totally different on my mind. So that's cool. You know, I've been a Christian for 21 years. I've been preaching for about 20 years, and it's funny that God brought us all up here, because I was going to pray for all the Rankins before they burned down anyways. My kids and my daughter and my grandson are going to school, you know, you never think your kids are, they always picture them being babies, all of them, they always will be my babies, no matter how old they get, whether it's Patrick and Candace or Chase and Keelan and the rest of the gang, the little ones back there. But they all grow up one day, and you help them grow up, and the church has helped them grow up. And I got to tell you, if you're going to grow up a family, you might as well grow them up in church. Wow, 15 years. I didn't even know that. I wonder how they figured that out. I guess somebody called somebody or something. I have no idea. That's pretty how they Googled it. So, today we're talking about restart, and everybody's probably wanting to know if we're going to do the video. We're not going to do that video. Sorry about that. You know, I'll talk on that note for a second. So it's a restart today for everybody. And 2021 is going to bring some good things, because we're going to change our focus and get out of all the hoopla. We're going to pray for everybody, love everybody on either side of the aisle, wherever you're at, and be the Christians. We're not going to be the church is a bunch of hate mongers. We're going to be people that spread the love of Jesus and the welfare of Jesus and that kind of thing. So that's our stance. It always has been. It hasn't nothing. So if you're asking, say, hey, Pastor, you know, what has changed in the last couple of days for you? And I'll be honest, not much. What changed for us during the pandemic? Not much. We're still doing what we've been doing since we got born again. We're preaching the gospel. We leave the details and the results up to God. It's our job just to be obedient. So if you would join me, stand up. We'll pray for, I'm getting ready to get into the offering scripture. You know, when people ask me about my day or how I've been doing, and, you know, whether it's through the pandemic or the political landscape and stuff like that, when you've been born again, when you've given your life to Jesus, every day's a good day. I mean, you just think about what it was like when you was a dang heathen. And I was like, and if you haven't been born again, I challenge you to give your life to Jesus today. So let's just pray for this message today. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, there's something supernatural about the message today, and I believe it's you. And I want to pray that you speak to each and every person here, gathered here, and in a special way, as you've already spoken to me through these wonderful people, these lovely people. So bless this message in thy name, in Jesus. Amen. So let me tell you what's going on before we collect our tithes and offerings out of, go ahead and be seated, please. Jeremiah 17, and excuse me as I blow my nose, I normally don't do that. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet, as Pastor Pat's the weeping prophet today. How ironic is that? So what was Jeremiah weeping about back then, 2,600 years ago? It's a little different than why I'm weeping. I'm weeping because of joy. Back then, he was weeping because his kingdom had gotten so far away from the Lord. And you go, well, what were they doing back then? The same thing 2,600 years ago that they're doing right here today. And I'll tie it all together. But just listen to this, and we're going to start in 17:5, and we read 17:5 through 10. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man who trusts is in man." And this is what I've said. So, we got this side, we got that side, we got the middle side, and all the, we thought somebody was going to rescue us and all these wonderful things, and it didn't happen. So if your party lets you down or politics lets you down or whatever, it was designed to let you down, because anytime you start or live a life in a godless society and you don't have God, and it's designed to fail because it's built on Babylonian principles, which are all designed to fail. So that's man's design to build their own kingdom without God. It will never work. So don't go out there and try to build your own, because it'll fail, I promise you. And if you're waiting for your neighbor or your friend or your pastor or one of the deacons to fail you, it's just a matter of time. I don't want to fail you, Terry, but I will, because I'm not sufficient for the things that you need in the areas of salvation. Can I say that? So do that with God. God is God. And makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, that's fruitless, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, and the salt, and the land, and not the inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. And then it goes on to verse 8, it says, for he shall be like a tree planted by water. So here's what I'm going to say. Barb, what was the problem back then? I just want to touch on 17:2. It says, while their children remember the altars. And you go, Paul, what is that about? The children remembered when they seen other children of their age sacrificed on the altars to false gods by their parents. Did somebody say, ooh? Why is that different than what we're doing today? It was quiet in all the rest of the services too. But we want God to bless America. But I'm asking you, will God bless America while we're still sacrificing babies at the altar to false gods? So here's the deal. I love you too much to lie to you, so I have to preach the truth. This is where we need to be. And here's the deal, and I'll just say this way we can get it out of the way. The churches should fill up. There's a sign today, Bevo, that you can see. The churches are filling back up, and here's the deal. If they don't fill back up now, I'll say it. We're doomed. I'm just going to say that, because there is no safe place anymore, whether you're on the right or the left or in the middle. There is no safe place anymore. It's all the same. It's all a bunch of backslapping going on. So back to the good part of the message. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out its roots by the river, and shall see and shall not see when heat comes. And let's be honest right now, the temperatures is pretty high in America. The heat is coming. So when the heat comes, if your tree is planted by the living water, the roots will grow out. And the Bible says that your leaves will always be green. You'll never lack for any good thing, church. That's what I say today in God. You won't lack anything. You won't lack anything. I just got to tell you, this part is going to bring you in. Senior, listen to this. And you can read this with me. And I'm reading out of King James Version today just for this reason. I don't want anybody to miss any important things. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Or if you're reading out of ESV, it would say, it's deceitful above all things and is sick. We think that because of the people we know and the influence they have, that some of the people are good. Well, this group over here, they're good. He's good, they're good, we're all good. You're good, I'm good. We're slapping each other's back. Yeehaw, we're all good. All good. Let's go play golf. Let's go fishing. We're all good. And we surround ourselves around good people. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the heart is wicked. That means it's twisted and it's sick, and it needs to be corrected by spiritual heart surgery that only Jesus Christ can perform through the blood of it that he shed at the cross at Calvary. My, my. I ain't got to the good part yet. So God knows the heart. I told you before, you can come in this church and fake me out. But you can't fake out God. He didn't hear me. This is the good party. No, it ain't. Unless God's in the center of it, it ain't a good party. Verse 10, and then we'll pray. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So, Father God, inspect our fruit today. Find out what it is we're bearing. Find out what it is we're spending our time out. Find out what it is, the language that we use, the sights that we look at. Find out, Lord God, if there's anything offensive to you, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and let us come here today with clean hands and a pure heart. Bless the offering today. Bless the message today. In thy name of Jesus, in 2021, we're choosing Jesus as our King. And his church said amen. Hey, give it up. Let it be picked up. Amen. Okay. Now we're going to get into the message. So, as a preacher, if some of you guys are going to end up being preachers one day, which I know you will, and I kind of prophesied that I thought my youngest grandson would probably be a preacher. I think he might be. He strikes me as a preacher. You never know who's going to be a preacher. So the easiest place for a young preacher to ever preach any kind of message for sure is out of Sermon on the Mount. It's already there. All you got to do is preach it. And people were going, oh, man, your message is better than I've ever heard. And I heard a lot of that, and I'm thankful for that. And it's all God. But the content is there. All I got to do is just keep bringing it out. I said it's there. All I got to do is keep bringing it out. That's good news. And you watch this. Jack, you can do this at home. Just bring it out. And if you're at home, you can bring it out. And Pastor Bevo, do it in the morning. And Terry, and then do it again at night. That'll really make the devil mad if you do it again. Look at your neighbor and say, let's do it again. Judge not and you will not be judged. We got a lot of people that are judging out there right now. Judge and judge. We judge, you judge, we all judge together. Judge, judge, judge. Amen. Aren't you glad they ain't your Savior? So, they judge you by the clothes you wear, the hair, and all the things you got with it. They judge you on your religion. They judge you on this. Here's the deal. God judges on the heart, and he knows what you got in there. I just want to know if you've made peace with God yet. Verse 2 says, for with the judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with the measure you mate, it shall be measured to you again. So that means if you want to get nasty, you're going to get nasty in return. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? That means when I'm trying to correct your life and my life is messed up as a can of soup. I'm worried about everybody else's life, but I'm not worried about my own. Here's the deal. Fix your own life before you try to fix somebody else, especially when you're on social media. Amen. And by the way, I heard social media's getting pretty wild out there. And I was laughing when I was sitting at the kitchen table, Brett, and my wife says, she says, what are you laughing about? I said, what'd you expect? What'd you expect? And then God told me this. He said, do you believe me now? Amen. He said, do you believe me now? He told you this was all going to come. It's like on your pickup truck. There's rust there. Just because you put Bondo over the top of it don't mean the rust ain't going to come back. You ever bought that car? How is it? Oh, it's slick. I always buy the slick ones. And you get them home after a couple of years and the rust starts to come through. See, here's the deal. Sin has always been there. It's just now so high at a level it has finally manifested itself into a volcano and it's oozing all over America right now. It was always there. It just had, say it with me, it just had Bondo over it. Just had Bondo over it. And you see it on your wheel wells. And you try to walk past it and go, well, it's really not going to be too bad. In another year, the whole wheel well is eating out. Amen. That's what's happened to America. Sin is eating America alive. Right. America needs to repent and put its trust back in Jesus and not a political party. I'll keep preaching. You hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Amen. You hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite is? Is when I tell you to do something and I'm not doing it myself. Say hello. Hello. I used to say that. Yeah, babe, you take the kids to church. Well, I was chugging a can of beer. Knowing what was right and telling her what to do, but I wasn't willing to do it myself. Amen? And right now you might be in church going, oh, yeah, that's right. I can't stand hypocrites. Say that with me. I can't stand hypocrites. Well, there's hypocrites in Walmart, and you still go there. So what if they're a hypocrite in church? You're called to love them, not like them. That's why you ain't sitting next to them today. I said it. Mike's going to get me on the truth. He said, Pastor, you just keep preaching the truth over and over again. We're going to have to cast him off of social media. We're getting rid of that pastor. Why? Because he's preaching the truth. I can't lie to you. There's too many good things in this Bible that I want to tell you about. It just makes me feel better just preaching the message. Amen. So listen to what he does now. So he says, give not which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. That means tear you apart. And you said, what does casting pearls on swine mean? It means don't be chasing people around who don't want to come to God. There's some people who just don't want to hear about Jesus. Here's what I tell them. Turn the channel then. Amen. Well, Pastor, aren't we supposed to chase them around? I'm not chasing anybody around. I'm too old for that. Amen. I'll pray for you when you get here. I'll fellowship with you. But me chasing everybody around just ain't practical, is it? God didn't call you to chase him. He called you to pray for him. The details are up to him and the results. Hello? I want you to be a good asker. So it says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. So God is the God that opens doors and closes doors. Some of these, I've told you before, there's some doors in your life that you need to close so you can walk through the open door that God has for you. And you say, well, Pastor, I almost closed that door. Here's the deal. Some of you guys still got a crack in the door. You all, Terry, we almost got it shut. We're almost shut it. Well, when you almost shut it, that's when God will come and start working in your life. You got to shut that door so that nasty doesn't trickle through the cracks. Do you remember when you was worried about the monster that lived under your closet, so you shut the door? You need to shut the door on the monster in your life. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For whoever one asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there who is of you whom his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Let me tell you a story. Say, please do. Well, Here's the deal. Snake wanted to get across the road. And my dad told me about snakes. He said, don't pick up poison snakes because they'll bite you regardless of what the intent is. And so the snake says, hey, sir, will you help me cross the road? Help me cross. Oh, no, I'm not touching you. You're a poisonous snake. But he keeps going on. I need to get to the other side of the road. I need you to pick me up. Finally, the guy picks him up, gets him to the other side of the road. Right as he lets go of him, the snake bites him. And the guy asks him, he says, why'd you bite me? He said, that's what we do. You're going to get that in a minute. Just let it marinate out there. Snakes bite. Ducks quack, dogs bark, and liars lie. Amen. We're going to get into that part here in just a second. I don't want you to be surprised when we get into the scriptures here. Slide down to verse 12. It says, therefore, all things, whatever so you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Enter into the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there will which go in it thereat. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. That means I agree. You get that in a minute. So when I say, well, when the Bible says that the road is narrow, I want to let you know the road is narrow and the gatekeeper's name is Jesus Christ, and there aren't many ways to get to heaven. There aren't many gods that will get you to heaven. Only Jehovah God, only Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and only the power of the Holy Spirit. There aren't two ways, three ways. There's only one way, and it's through God and through your trust in Jesus Christ. Don't be confused by false prophets. Am I making sense yet today, church? You can pray to the wallpaper if you want, but it ain't going to get you into heaven. You can pray to a higher power if you want to, but that ain't going to get you to heaven. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads into life, and few there be find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And you say, I can't believe. That's one thing I told you that my dad couldn't stand. He could stand just about anything. But there's one thing, Terry, that my dad could not stand is a liar. He stood for a lot of things in our family. But he couldn't stand a liar. And I'll be talking about these false prophets in a second. And I figured that out through time. You can deal with all the rest of the stuff that's in your family's life, but a liar you cannot trust, because you never know when they're telling you the truth. God in His Word cannot lie. The Bible cannot lie. Those who are preaching God's Word out of His Bible cannot lie. That's what we need, is the truth. Beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. So it's okay if you're a fruit inspector. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs and thistles? Even so every good, say this with me, even so every good tree brings forth, but a corrupt tree. So what'd you expect? Did you expect all these wonderful people were going to bring forth good things? They can't produce good things because their root base is not in Jesus Christ. It's in the world.
That's right.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I'll ask you to rise with me here on this one. I got two verses left, and I'm gonna preach on this a little bit. So hang around for a minute. And you bring the lights down, Jackie. Class, listen to this. I don't fear at all. You say, well, Pastor, you must be really fearful when you send your oldest grandson and your daughter to college, when they go off and they're off into college. That I don't fear that actually at all. They've been growed up in the church. They know the way of God. Now all they have to do is ask themselves two things. Would Jesus approve of what I'm doing, or would my grandpa or my daddy approve of what I'm doing right now? And if we don't approve of it, watch this. Don't do it. There'll be false prophets out there in the college. There'll be false prophets out there in the highways and byways, but they don't need to spend any time with it because my daddy and my grandpa told me that the liars will lie and there will be wolves in sheep clothing trying to guide me away from God. But I won't fall for it. We don't need to spend any more time in the world. Do we really right now? Do you need to get off in the world right now? You can start back there, Pastor Beeville. Well, hold on for a second, Pastor. We're trying to figure out what social media site we need to be on since such and such is shut down and they're censoring this and that. What'd you think they was going to do when you started preaching the word of Jesus Christ? They've been trying to censor me in this pulpit since the day I got in it. I can't tell you how many administrations I've been through. Well, did you hear about Rob? Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Amen. I'm guarded by the Lamb of God. I'm guarded by the Lamb of God. Don't worry about Pastor Pat. I'm a big boy. You don't run around here and act like you're some kind of scaredy cat over people and all this crazy stuff, Brett. Run around. Don't be fearful of all these people out here. All you need to do is bring them to church. They'll end up getting born again and they'll be shouting with you. Amen. What a concept that would be. You could look at them and go, man, I used to hate that dude. I can't believe he's in this church. Amen. They used to tell me that when I go down to Cadillac Jackson, hold Bible studies. Oh, that dude hates you over there, man. I said, tell him I love him. Used to go up to the bar where I used to swill beers. And then me and my wife and my daughter would go up there and we'd take prayer requests at the bar. What a sense of humor God's got. Is anybody hearing the message today? It's okay. God's bigger than all your problems. And he don't want you to be a hate monger and get all balled up. You go, man, that's an opportunity. I could tell that guy right there about the love of Jesus today. Where do you want to focus all your energy on? I want to focus all my energy on the kingdom of God. It just simply because I love God and his kingdom lasts forever. Why would I invest all my time in something that's going to rust and decay and moss are going to eat? All right, here it is. Every tree that does not bear forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. All right. That number 19 right there is really, that's a sticker. If it doesn't bear good fruit, it's cut down and hewn into the fire. What fire is he talking about, Pastor Pat? What is that he's talking about? He's talking about hell. He's talking about Gehenna. He's talking about Sheol. And you say, well, what happens to hell and Sheol and Gehenna? It's just all forms and names of hell. What happens to hell in the end? Hell gets thrown into the lake of fire. I don't know if you've ever waved your hand over a candle, but it's like that all the time in hell. And just look at your neighbor and say, I ain't going there, man. I ain't going there. My preacher told me that was a real place. So what you might be saying is since my kids are watching today, text them right now and tell them to watch this last part here. What should I do, Pastor? Give your life to Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. That sounds kind of like a cliche preacher type thing. It is.
Wouldn't you like to be born again? Would you like to just stay away from hellfire and damnation? How about this? Can you imagine sending your kids off to college and not being born again? I wouldn't do it. I'd say, don't go. You're not saved yet. But when they've given their life to Jesus Christ, you ain't got anything to worry about. So I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to be very serious right now. Would you like to give your life to Jesus today before you head out of here? Just would you? If that's you, I'm not even going to ask you to come down or move. All I'm going to ask you to do is slip up your hand so I know who I'm praying for right now. One, two, three, just rise it up. Right there, I see you back there. Just and just pray something like this with me. Just say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life right now. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. And that preacher preaching out of the good book there told me the Savior's Jesus. And you got to know his name because you need to call on him in the midnight hour. Here's the deal, church. Everybody lays their head on a pillow at night. What keeps you up at night? If you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, you have nothing to worry about anymore. What can man do to me? Reach to the sky and say, I want him right now. Say, I want him. I want him. Come into my life. Make me a born-again believer and help me live for you. I trust in the work that you've did at Calvary 2,000 years ago for the sin debt that I owe. This country can't borrow enough money to get you out of sin debt. They can run up the deficit to $90 trillion and never buy you out of sin. But Jesus can. By the first drop, Larry, and the last drop of blood. Does anybody feel a little better today? I sure do. I just, Mrs. Ferguson, and then this prayer's for the saints today. I don't know that I've ever felt a movement, Mike, of the Holy Spirit through this church in the last couple of days like I have today and last night. God's doing something. Maybe God's coming back. I don't know. I know everything is done that needs to be done. So when you leave, if I never see you again, I'll see you in glory. And then I'm going to pray for you for a restart in your life. I think everybody could use that after 2020. Lord, we're up to here with the regulations. We're regulated up to our nose. We won't get set free today. We want to be spiritually healthy, physically healthy, financially healthy. And we give you the glory for this day. And we pray this in thy name of Jesus. And all God's people said amen. So let's applaud the Lord today.